So I thought we'd give a little bit more of a global discussion this morning about some of the issues of Kedusha Shabbos, in particular they relate to Kedusha Yontif and some of the differences between the two, since we are, of course, learning the Sechah Shabbos for the last 2 years, and Yontif is about Leinu. But not only is Yontif arriving, the bracha that we're going to recite in Mitzvah tomorrow night is the bracha of Amavdu ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, which highlights the fact that there are different types of Kedusha Zman. There's Kedusha Zman of Shabbos, and there's Kedusha Zman of Yontif. Whenever we speak about Kedusha, so Kedusha is not just some esoteric statement, but Kedusha addresses something in the very real, concrete world of Halacha. Kedusha always means limitations, always means certain things that one is not permitted to do. So when we speak about different types of Kedusha, what we're referring to the fact that there are some things that are permitted to be done under certain circumstances, and other things that are permitted to be done under other circumstances. Let's say, for example, we speak about Kedushas Makom, so the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Maseches Kelim, there are Esa Kedushas, there are 10 different levels of Kedusha in the world. There's Yerushalayim, there's Harabayis, there's Azor, the Heichal, Azor, etc. But the Mishnah doesn't just say there are 10 different Kedushas. The Mishnah then delineates that Kedushas Yerushalayim is different from Kedushas Harabayis in the following, that certain people are not permitted to go here, who are permitted to go here. And Kedushas Heichal is different than Kedushas Azara. Certain people who are not permitted to go here are permitted to go here. So whenever we speak about Kedusha, and specifically about different gradations of Kedusha, so there are differences in Halacha between the different types of Kedusha. We have that when it comes to Kedushas Gavra as well. There's a Kedusha Yisrael, means a Jew is not permitted to do certain things that someone who doesn't have Kedusha Yisrael is permitted to do. There's Kedushas Kahuna, and there's Kedushas Kohen Gadol. So too, in the realm of Kedusha Zman, we can't just say it's a holy day, it's a special day. There are dargahs, there are degrees of Kedusha. There's Kedushas Chol HaMoed, there's Kedushas Yom Tov, there's Shabbos, Kedushas Kippurim. Different days have different degrees of Kedusha. So when it comes to, we cite Havdalah, so we highlight the fact not just Malvin Kedush L'Chol, but we highlight Malvin Kedush L'Kedush as well. How does these two Kedushas, Kedusha Shabbos, Kedusha Yom Tov express itself? What are the differences? So the Mishnah has the seemingly sweeping statement in the Mishnah, in the first paragraph of Masechet Megillah, called Ein Bein Shabbos Yom Tov Ela Melechas Echol Nefesh Bilvad, that there are no differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov except for Echol Nefesh. So the truth is that Chazal never really meant that statement the way it says. Chazal meant in terms of what you're permitted to do and prohibited to do, that's the only real difference, Echol Nefesh. But there are for sure differences between the two. For sure, there are different dimensions of Shabbos that do not apply to Yom Tov. So let's say, for example, just in terms of the onesh, in terms of the punishment that a person receives for doing a malacha. So even if a person violates a malacha derais in Yom Tov, he's only chay malchus. We're not minimizing malchus, but it's only malchus. Whereas Shabbos carries with it a much more severe, a much harsher punishment. It carries with it an onesh of, if it's done b'mezid, an onesh of skila, if it's done b'shegeg, well, b'mezid is skila and kares, if it's done b'shogeg, then it carries with it a requirement to bring a korban chatos. So that's an obvious difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mishnah wasn't talking about that. The Mishnah was talking about what you are permitted to, not permitted to do. The Mishnah wasn't talking about the ramifications if you went ahead and did it. Because there is a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in terms of ramifications, in terms of the repercussions of what you did, there's also a corollary statement that we spoke about several times over the last 2 years, was called Chiluk Malachas L'Shabbos. That if a person does something on Shabbos that carries with it multiple Averas, we spoke about this many times, going back to the days of Zomer V'Tzorach Li'Eitzim, the Gemara says that if a person prunes his vineyard on Shabbos, and he does it for two reasons. He does because he wants to use the wood, and he does because he wants to improve the growing of the vine. So the Gemara says that's a double violation. He's chayef twice for that. He's chayef for the malach of koitzer, for harvesting, removing the wood to make firewood. And he's also over the issue of zereya, because he's making the remaining vine grow better. So it's chayef twice. So the Gemara says, yeah, azom esof leitzim chayef shtayim. What is the significance of being chayef shtayim? If he does it b'mezid with Edom and Hasra, with warning and witnesses, we're not going to kill him twice. Kill him in the Tchias Amazim from here, and only kill him one time. So what does it mean, Chayef Shtayim? So the answer is that it's Chayef Koris twice. So my Nafkabit is Chayef Koris twice. So Nafkabit and Lagabi Korin Chatas. If a person does a Malach HaShabbos B'Shoigeg, so then he has to bring a Korban Chatas. So here the Gemara is telling us that you can bring multiple Chatoses. So the Gemara says that's what's called Chiluk Malachas to Shabbos. Even though it was really one action, Afa Pichain, you could still be Chayef multiple times per Malacha that you did. However, the Gemara says that ein chiluk malachas liyantif. When it comes for yantif, then the concept of chiluk malachas doesn't exist. What would it have meant if it would have existed? It wouldn't have been an afkamina for chatas, because there's no chatas for yantif. It would have meant an afkamina for malchus. And if a person does one action on yantif, even though it carries with it multiple chiyuvim, so one only gets chayav once. Ein chiluk malachas liyantif. So again, we have a few differences between Shabbos and yantif. We're not saying that what's also what's mutter, we're just saying if you went ahead and did it, so then the ramifications of being mechal Shabbos are much more severe. There's another difference between if a person went ahead and was mechal Shabbos, that wouldn't apply bipashas to yantif. That is, the Gemara tells us that if a person is mechal Shabbos before Hesya, if he publicly desecrates Shabbos, he's considered to be a muma l'chol ha-Torah kula. So he's considered to be somebody who we assume violates all dinim in the Torah as well. There are different types of mumrim in halacha. This is called a mumu l'chol ha-Torah kula, and this is called a mumu davar echad. If a person is a mumu davar echad, means they eat treif. They observe all the other mitzvot of Torah, but they're not machpat on treifus. So that the din is that they're only treated like a mumur within that area of halacha, but they're not a mumur in other areas. Let's say, for example, if a person eats treif, but they observe shatnez, usually probably the other way around. A guy eats treif, but he observes shatnez. So he would not be accepted to be the mashkiach in a restaurant, because he's choshed al adover, because in the area of treifus, he doesn't observe area of treifus, so he doesn't have any nemonos, he doesn't have any credibility in the realm of treifus. But if he wants to be the shatnez checker, so then we would accept him, as long as he personally is mach, but not where shatnez, so then he's still considered to be a nemon vis-a-vis hilchos shatnez. So you have this in many areas. Let's say you have a person who's mach, but a kosher, they eat kosher, but they don't observe taras ha-mishpacha. Not because they're not married, but they're married, and they don't observe Taras Mishpacha. So this woman who doesn't observe Taras Mishpacha, so she wants to be the mikvah lady. So she's not accepted. She's going to tell us that the women went down properly. She's going to tell us that the mikvah is working. She doesn't have any nemanos in that area, because she doesn't observe that area of halacha. But on the other hand, if she wants to be tell us the food is kosher, so if she personally keeps kosher, so you can believe her that the food is kosher. So in all areas of halacha, we have a rule that when you're a mumor, you're chosher for that area that you personally are not observing. But the Gemara says, let's see if a guy has mumul chol ha-Torah kula. He violates everything. So then he has no shaykh with anything. So then the Gemara says, Maseches Chulin, what if he doesn't violate mamish everything, but he violates certain averus that lead us to believe that he has no credibility. There's no reason to assume that he would necessarily observe anything. So the Gemara singles out two averus. One is the aver of Avodah Zarah, and the other is the aver of Chilul Shabbos for Hesya. If he's an idol worshiper, let's say a guy says, I worship idols, but I also eat kosher. And now he applies for a job as a mashgiach. So we look for his resume. It says he worships idols. So we say, we can't trust you as a mashgiach. The guy says, why not? I eat kosher. So the Gemara says, but you worship idols. Once you're an Avodah Zarah, so we have to assume that tomorrow you'll violate anything. You don't accept the basics, so you may violate anything. You have no nemanos in any area of halacha, even those areas that, quote-unquote, you observe. And the Gemara says the same is true when it comes to Chilul Shabbos. But if a person is Mechal Shabbos before Hesya, it's a public desecrator of Shabbos, then we have to assume that it's Hutl Kol Torah Kula. He's a Mumul Kol Torah Kula. You have to assume that he may be violating any and everything, and he has no nemanos whatsoever once he's labeled as a Mechal Shabbos before Hesya. Not only does he not have nemanos, it's not just a question of believing him, but he's treated like a goy concerning many, many areas of halacha. Doesn't mean he's mamish a goy, doesn't mean that he doesn't have to do this role anymore, but he's treated like a goy. Nuchas shchita, nuchas stam yeinim, nuchas erevin, many areas of halacha, we treat him like a non-Jew once the person is so off the derech that he's either a mumma l'chal shabbos or fahesia, or he's a mumma l'avid of a dezar. How this plays out, l'maisa, a person doesn't know, is a shagik, that's really a whole different side topic. But fundamentally, there is a din that once a person is a mumma l'chal shabbos, he becomes a mumma l'chal terakula.
So stam yeinim. Yain Esef would apply to the whole concept of drinking wine with the person, only him.
No. If he touches wine, that's not mavushal, so it would be like a non-Jew touched the wine. So that would trigger.
It would be an Isur, like you have a gazera not to have wine with a.
So you're allowed to drink wine together at the same table with
him. Just you can't touch it.
You can't touch the wine.
His Chol Shabbos. Before Hesya has to be on the Daraisa level?
That's a further shadow. That's a Sofik and Rubik Kibager. Let's see, you have a guy, a real London. A guy, he's Mechal Shabbos, he only moves Muktzah. He does it before Hesya, but he doesn't, he won't turn line. He won't do the Melach Daraisa. So Rubik Kibager has a Sofik, is that considered to be a Mechal Shabbos before Hesya? So he points out that it's probably Mechalik Yisir Rishon, Mechalik between the Ramam and the Ran. What does that child depend upon? So it most probably depends on Lomdash Shaila, about what the nature of Yisir Rabbanan is. When you violate an Issa Derabbanan of Shabbos, is that called an Issa Shabbos? We call an Issa Prati. It's considered to be like a localized Issa. Otherwise, say there's a general Issa called don't violate Dinim Derabbanan. So the guy who eats Bishalacham, the guy who moves Mux is violating the same Issa. It's not Shabbos, it's not Kashrus. It's a general Issa called not violating the Dinim Derabbanan. So there's a long, long, long Rabbi Kimei Gamliel Issa Shchit about that. Well, one would think that this would never be Lamaisa. Who's going to be a guy? It's Lechal Shabbos, but the Rabbanah is not the Raisa. Most people are not such Lamdanim. So I knew a fellow like that. There was a fellow who was a Nevuch, Nevuch, went off the Derech over the years. Well, he guessed Lishitas, so he only went off part of the Derech. So he was actually a very, very good boy in Yeshiva many years ago. And whatever it is, I don't know, whatever happened to him over the live course of life, he's not quite a Shabbat Terbitzis anymore. So somebody told me that... He still can't bring himself to violate Mamish Dera. He still won't drive a car on Shabbos. He was still, I don't know what his definitions of Deraises are. I don't know whether he'll turn on a kosher switch or not. That can't happen. But whatever's only a Derabana, Lefishi Tasa, assuming that he knows Masechah Shabbos, Taka knew how to learn pretty well years ago. I don't know how much, it's been quite some time. So whatever for sure is a Derabana, that'll violate outright on Shabbos. So I said, that's what Kivek was talking about him. It means a guy who comes to Bechal Shabbos, the Rabbanon, is he really considered to be Bechal Shabbos or not? Anyway, back to the story. So what if a person violates Yontif, the Pharisee? A guy does Malachas and Yontif publicly, public desecration of Yontif, Shabbos he won't touch, but Yontif he violates. So would you call him a Bechal Shabbos, or call him Bechal Yontif, the Pharisee? Would that make him into a Mumu L'chol HaTarakula? So the Pasha said, the Varm is not. Because Chil Yontif is not on par with Chil Shabbos. Not only is it not on par with Chil Shabbos, but the particular reason that makes the person into a Mumul Chol Tarkula on Shabbos probably doesn't exist on Yontif. Rashi has a comment at the beginning of Masechas Chulin. Why is it that if a person is Mechal Shabbos Befresia, he becomes like Dino Ka'akum? He becomes a Mumul Chol Tarkula. What is it about Chil Shabbos that makes him into such a serious Aveira? So the Yemen says, it's not the skila shibo. It's not the fact that there's an issa skila. There are a lot of Yisurim that are Yisurei skila. There are a lot of terrible Averas out there. Certain of the Arayas carry with them Yisurei skila. There are many, many violations of skila out there. What is it about Chul Shabbos that makes you into someone who's this mufka from everything? You become a mumul chotar kula. So Rashi writes in Masechet Chulin, the reason is not so much the chumras Avera, the severity of the Yisur, but it's the philosophy behind the Avera. Namely, why is it that the person who's an Ovid of Anazara becomes a Mumul Chol Tarakula? So Rashi writes, it's not the Aveira, it's the Kfira Shabo. It's the fact that through an act of Anazara, you're Kofar Bashem. So if you're Kofar Bashem, how could you accept this Torah? The corollary of accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs is the fact that you accept Him. That's the first thing that says the difference. According to many Rishonim, it's not even a dibra, like it's Ram and the Ramban. It's not even a mitzvah in the Torah. It's just a statement of fact. The Rambam counts that as a mitzvah samuna. You have to believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Other Rishonim write, it's not a mitzvah of amuna. It's just the prerequisite to Kol Tarkula. How can you talk about Shabbos and Kashrus and Kibbut Avayim and Losir if you don't accept the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists? So that's what Rashi writes in Masechet Chulin, that if a person is Ovid of a Nezara, so that basically means that he's not accepting a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the sense that we accept a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So once you deny the existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for Sheitzach you deny the existence of his mitzvahs. Once you deny his mitzvahs, so then you, by definition, become a Mumar L'chol HaTarakula. So Rashi writes, the same is true for an act of Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos of Hesia is not because of the Chumas Isser. It's a terrible Isser, but it's more than that, says Rashi. It's a declaration of Kfir Hashem. When you're Mechal Shabbos, so what you're basically saying is that you don't accept Maaseh Breishis. You don't accept the beginning of Sefer Breishis, which means if you don't accept Sefer Breishis, then remember you can't accept Sefer Shmos. The whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is all, the whole Kabbalah Satorah is all predicated on the assumption that a Kadosh Baruch is a Borei Olam. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leima means that Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. The person who is Mechal Shabbos for Hesia is basically saying a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist in the sense that we describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he has some other version of what he thinks is nature and power and other things, but the Ribbono Shel Olam of Sefer Breishis in his mind doesn't exist. So Mamela, the Ribbono Shel Olam of Shmos Vikram and Devarim is irrelevant as well. So that's what Rashi explains. So that idea is only true when it comes to Chil Shabbos. A guy's Mechal Yomtiv. That's Mechal Yontif. That means that he doesn't want to keep the holidays. That's like eating treif. That's like an Aveira. I'm not minimizing the Aveira, but doesn't have that element of kfir b'maaseh breishis that Shabbos has to it. That's what the Orch Lener had a famous tshuva in his time. The Rav Lanier was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. He was a Rav in Germany in the early 1800s. So he wrote the Perish Rav Lanier on Shas, and he wrote his Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. So people think, oh, Binyan Tzion, he must have wrote hundreds of Tshuvas all about Yerushalayim. The first Tshuva was about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, was Zman HaZeh, so he named the entire Sefer Binyan Tzion. But the rest of the Tshuvas are regular plain Tshuvas. So he has became a very, very famous Tshuva about what if you have an individual who's Michal Shabbos for Hesya, but we know for a fact that he's not a Kofa by Sabrashis. We know for certain that this Rashi doesn't apply to him. So the Yochanan writes in his Tshuvas that he thinks such a person would not become a Michal Shabbos for Hesya with all the Chumras thereof. You know, it's not the Issa Shabo that creates the Michal Shabbos for Hesya. It's the Kfira Shabo. So if he's the exception to the rule, we know that he's not a koifer. We know for a fact he's not a koifer, but my sabrashis. It's just Nebuch, he's doing malach on Shabbos, so that he thinks that if he'll touch the wine, it won't trafe the wine, if he'll shech the animal, it'll be kosher. All the ramifications of becoming a Michal Shabbos, he won't apply to this person. How do we know he's not a koifer, my sabrashis? The Chonair writes, he makes Kiddush on Friday night. He has a Shabbos meal with his family. He goes to Shul Shabbos morning. He daven Shabbos, daven's Musaf, Shachar's a Musaf. Comes to the Kiddush and Shul, and then he goes to work. So the Yochanan writes, how can you say he's a koyfer by Sabrashis? He's a balaveira, okay, he has a yetzahara, he has to make a parnas, okay. So he has unjustified reasons why he's going to work. We feel bad for him, but in terms of calling, how can you call him a koyfer by Sabrashis? If he makes Kiddush, get somebody that says, Zechle by Sabrashis, he's Davin Shachris, he says, Zechle by Sabrashis, how can you call him a koyfer by Sabrashis? So the Yochanan thought that if he has such a type of Michal Shabbos, he wouldn't be an SLA Diruk Akum. So this was a common phenomenon in Germany in the 1800s. This was a common phenomenon in America as well. In most shuls, people think that the people daven dashkamin, those are the frumah ones, those are the bnei Torah who are getting up early to daven early to learn the whole morning. So in America, when the Hashkam Minyanim started, it wasn't exactly like that. The Hashkam Minyanim started in America to make it possible for the Michal Shabbos to daven. The Nebuch, the people who wanted to be at work by 9 o'clock in the morning, had a daven. So they couldn't daven 9 o'clock Minyan. So they made a 6:30, 7 o'clock Minyan Nebuch so the people could go to work. So it was a Rachmanis. What are you going to call this guy? Michal Shabbos Behesia. He gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go daven for 2 hours before he goes to work. So you're going to call him Michal Shabbos. You can call him doing an Avera, that's true, and we feel bad for him that he's such a predicament, never he has to go to work, but, I don't mean he has to, I mean whatever the reason is, he's pushing himself to go to work, but this call him Michal Shabbos v'hesed dino ka'akum, so based on this Aruch Lanier, it's very hard to do so. So the same is true when it comes to Chilul Yontif. So Chilul Yontif is a terrible thing, but it's not a Michal Shabbos v'hesed, it's not a koyfer for my separations. So Chol Parim, when the Mishnah makes the statement that Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif, it doesn't mean it for everything. It means what's Asa, what's Mutter, these are the differences. So what is the difference? Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif L'Eicha Nefesh Bavad. So the Gemara jumps in Meseches Megillah and says, is that true? That Ein Bein Shabbos LeYontif L'Eicha Nefesh Bavad, that makes it sound like only Eicha Nefesh proper is Mutter and Yontif. But other kinds of things which are not Eichel Nefesh proper would be Aser. So one of those categories that the Gemara highlights is what's called Machshirei Eichel Nefesh. So Machshirei Eichel Nefesh means that I'm doing a malacha, and it's basically related to food, but I'm not doing the malacha to the food proper. I'm doing the malacha to something which is a much earlier stage in the food preparation. The Gemara gives an example. Let's say I want a shecht on Yontif. That's okay. Mikra, then you're allowed a shecht on Yontif. As a matter of that, we have a minute for a variety of reasons, not the shecht on Yontif. When we get to Malach of Sheikhin, if the Tzad, we'll talk about that. But Mikra Din, the Mishnah is talking about Shechting on Yontif. What if a person wants to sharpen his knife in order to Shecht? The Din is that if your knife is not sharp, you can't Shecht. So he wants to go in and sharpen his knife. So sharpening a knife is a Malacha. It's a Malacha Machma Patish. He just dropped his knife on the floor, now it's got a nick in it, it's got a pegima in it. So he has to go take his stone and start sharpening his knife, otherwise the knife is not usable. So that's a Malacha Deraisa Machma Patish. Is he permitted to do that or not? If he doesn't sharpen his knife, he won't be able to shecht. So the Gemara says, that's not Echol Nefesh. You're not eating the knife, you're eating the animal. That's called Machshiri Echol Nefesh. You're doing something to enable you to be able to shecht this animal. That's called Machshiri Echol Nefesh. So is that included in the Heter or not? So the Gemara is Medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah. Ein Bein Shabbos Liyantik Ala Echol Nefesh, implying that Machshiri Echol Nefesh would be Aser. So the Gemara says, you're right. That this Mishnah follows the view of the Chachamim, who say that Machshiri Echol Nefesh Ataka off limits, and their Aser actually been HaTorah. How did the Chachamim know that? So the Gemara explains that the Chachamim Da'ash in the Pasuk, Acha She'ochel Echol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lochem. The Torah says you're allowed to do Echol Nefesh, but only that. Hu Levado Ye'aseh Lochem. Hu Levado, Hu V'lo Machshirin. It means hulavado. You're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to carry food, you're allowed to knead doughs, you're allowed to do those kinds of things. But to sharpen knives, to be able to shecht, hulavado, that's not included in that. And therefore it would be also makom patish deraisa. And the Gemara says that this Mishnah is disagreeing with the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's true it says hulavado, which seems to exclude machshirin, but it also says yaseh lochem. Yaseh lochem is the mebarbe, is including. Whatever you want to do, you can do on Yantav. So which one is it? Is it hulavado that only echol nefesh is mutar? Or is it yaseh lochem that even machshir echol nefesh is mutar? So Rabbi Yehuda says, what the Torah is describing for us is that there are differences within the category of machshir echol nefesh. Some machshirin are mutar and some are also. Which are which? The Gemara says it depends on the following. If it's machshirin that you could have done from before Yontif, namely you knew that your knife broke from before Yontif and you didn't bother fixing it, and now you want to come Yontif morning and sharpen it, that's also min haTorah. Hu levado, that you're not allowed to do. But if your knife broke on Yontif, so then what do you want for the guy? It's EF should be Yod Yom. If it's EF should be Yod Yom, then it's mutter to do it. That's what Yasa Lachem is coming to include. So according to the Rabbanon, all machshirin are also min haTorah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, certain machshirin are mutter, certain machshirin are also, depending on if you could have done it from before or not. How do we paskin the halacha on this one? So normally, yachad rab lacharab, normally you would follow the chachamim. Here you have a stam mishnah like the chachamim. So the Gemara Masechet Beitzah says that the later amoraim paskin the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. So that was the accepted view. Even though it's a stam mishnah, and even though we should have followed the rabbim, but once the later amoraim machriya like Rabbi Yehuda, that's how we paskin the halacha. So the halacha we follow Rabbi Yehuda, but nevertheless the Gemara puts the brakes on this psak. The Gemara says that even though the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, halacha v'yed mayrin kain. That if somebody comes and asks the shali, you're not supposed to tell him. If somebody wants to know, hey, I dropped my knife on Yom Tov morning, can I sharpen it? You're not supposed to say yes. Because if you tell people yes, the next thing you know is if the knife breaks on Erev Yom Tov, they're going to fix it also. It means the line of difference, the line of demarcation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is so small, there's such a room for confusion. Therefore, the Chachamim, therefore the Amoraim, strongly recommend that it's a halacha. You're not supposed to tell people that that's the din. So you didn't hear it from me. That's what says Shulchan Aruch. If you figure it out on your own, then it's okay. But if somebody comes and asks you a shayla, you're not supposed to tell. That's what the Gemara tells the story, that one of the Amoraim dropped his knife in Yontif, so he had started to sharpen it. He knew the din, followed Rabbi Yehuda, so he starts to sharpen his knife. So one of his talmidim saw him sharpening the knife, so he says, "Oh, Rabbi, I see you're allowed to sharpen a knife on Yontif." So he said, "No, I'm not sharpening a knife. I'm just rubbing off some dirt or something." He just said, "I'm not really sharpening the knife." So the Gemara says the reason why he didn't tell the emes was because that would have been a violation of halacha v'yin marin kein. So he had no choice. Normally midvashek etirchak. Normally you're not supposed to lie. But Hulei's burial, what are you going to do? He had to say something. So he said something, so he pashkin around. He told the half-truth, because otherwise that would have been more of a violation. As a michshel, the Talmud would have thought that you're allowed to lechatchila do these things. So that would have potentially let the michshelim down the way. But for those who know the din, so the halacha is in fact that halacha v'yein meirin kein. That's because we pasken against this mishnah. So we have this grandiose mishnah. It says, ein ben shabbos teyontef, elay chanefesh bavad. So we said, Mishnah doesn't exactly mean what it says. There are a lot of differences. One is a Chi of Malchus, one is a Chi of Kares, one becomes B'chol Shabbos for Hesia, one is not. There are a lot of differences. Chi of Malachas to Shabbos, Chi of Malachas to Yom Tov. The Mishnah is only talking about within what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And then even within that, so the Mishnah had the implication that Machshirin would be Asur, and we don't even follow that. So this grandiose Mishnah, there's a lot to this Mishnah. We just spent the whole Shia talking about what the Mishnah doesn't say. So maybe next time, I don't know, maybe next Yom Tov, whenever we continue with Shabbos and Yom Tov, so we'll have to try to figure out, what did the Mishnah say exactly? So what are the differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov? The Shabbos Echon Nefesh is also, Yom Tov Echon Nefesh is Mutar. What is Echon Nefesh? What's not Echon Nefesh? So as we've been learning along with Shabbos, we've been touching and highlighting a little bit along the way in terms of what some of those parameters of Echon Nefesh are all about. So if we met the Shem at the Shavuos, we'll go back to the regular Shirim in terms of we're starting the next Sukkot with the Shem of Tzad, and then if we move on to Sheikhet, and continue the Malachas for this year.